Fan-run radio podcasters, many of you have been asking for a way to support the station if you live out of state and can't support our sponsors, and now there's a way. Just go to shopfanrun.com and buy a shirt, or two, or ten, and know that you're supporting the station that does our best to support you. Shopfanrun.com.
You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And I love Tennessee. I got a lot of orange blood in my body.
Now, Bear, don't be jealous.
I'm not jealous. It's a nice car.
My man got some new wheels. Good for you, Brandon.
Glad Russell keeps you in your lavish lifestyle with your high-performance, fancy Japanese luxury sedans.
You going to drive us to Corner 16 Thursday?
If you want.
In the new car?
If you want. It has a very spacious trunk. We can fit all the remote equipment in there.
Did we learn our lesson after the last Corner 16 visit? Eat a very, very light lunch Thursday.
I'm not eating any lunch.
You're just going to... Man, they brought us
I'm having the
so
meat
much
loaf.
Food. That's like I can't eat like that anymore.
Well, are you going to eat?
Yeah, are you going to
anything
eat?
This time, Bear?
I might.
That's
come on, eat something with us. Dine with us. Break bread with The Drive.
We've broken bread before. We went to Cracker Barrel.
I don't know if I've ever broken bread with you, Bear.
Well, I mean, I watched you eat an entire half a gallon of ice cream out of a carton with a giant spoon like Jethro off the Beverly Hillbillies.
He's a growing boy. He needs his dairy.
It's my home. It's my ice cream.
That was the most disgusting thing I'd ever seen.
All right. Getting back to it. Here on The Drive, Fox Sports Knoxville. Overreaction Monday presented by the Phone Exchange. Let's get some phone calls going here. 865-546-8200. 3-3. Halfway through the season. I can live with that. I can work with that. It's all right. It's all right. Phil is up first today on The Drive. Hello, Phil.
Why is that? I'm here.
Hi, Phil.
How you, Brandon and Bear Bryant, now?
Doing well. Doing well. How about you, man?
Well, we won that big game. I couldn't believe it.
It's nice. It's nice.
It's a step in the right direction.
Now, Phil, I was not here. These guys are clamming up. They're talking a big game during the break. They said, oh, Phil's on. He's going to have to eat some crow. Phil, were you?
I will. I'll eat the crow. I'm happy to eat crow. I mean, I'm a big enough guy to eat it. I mean, it tasted good, too.
So I wasn't around. It was Phil. He was a little bit. He wasn't bullish on Tennessee's chances.
I got on Brandon about it.
N-E-V-E-E-R.
Never.
You did the never routine, Phil?
Yeah, it seems like when I do that, though, Tennessee always pulls the game out of their butt. So I start doing it more.
Yeah, start doing
Stick
it, man.
Stick to your pop and smoke it.
I guess I need to do it when we play Alabama this week, you know?
I don't know that, you know, you saying never, me watching the game in my car, Bear watching the game upside down on his head. You know, I don't know that all the superstitions in the world are going to help us any this weekend, Phil.
I see a path.
No, but, I mean, if we play like we did against Georgia, against Alabama here, and sounds to me like Alabama's kind of a beat-up football team coming in here, we, you know, may not get annihilated by them.
You know where their defense was ranked as of last week?
Bama? Well,
take a wild guess.
I'll say 8 or 9.
No, their defense has not been good, not been
really?
As good this year. They're like 20-something, 20-30.
No, it was lower than that.
Lower than that?
Yeah.
I mean, their offense is carrying them this year.
Well, and, you know, if the real good stud quarterback don't play, let Hurts try to run against us because I think we can defend the run a lot better than we did 2 years ago.
Yeah, you know, I think fundamentally Alabama's 15th in total defense anyway. Get out here with all that fake news. I think that Tennessee's in a better position fundamentally, you know, to contain them. But still, man, I mean, those guys, even with their backup quarterback, are capable of rolling just about anybody in the country. And are we going to be able to put up enough points to stay – stay in the ball game? I don't know. Bear, you, what is this path you speak of? What is our path to winning against Alabama?
Same as it was against Auburn. Claw, claw, scratch, try and keep it
get
close.
Get a bunch of turnovers.
Try and keep it close, get turnovers. And hang
well, don't turn it. Us not turn it over.
Us not turn it over and see if we can catch them, you know, a little bunged up and maybe looking ahead to this tough slate they've got coming up and just dirty up the game and keep it close. Try and
have
a chance
Alabama
to win.
Think Alabama will be looking ahead to LSU?
Maybe. I think to some extent, yeah. I think it's really hard not to for them. Because that showdown with LSU, that's going to be a stout game.
I think what's more concerning for us, and I meant to mention this during the Rocky Top report, but the South Carolina game, which is kind of what – listen, man, I would love to – if we beat Alabama, I will I'll do volunteer reaction naked. I don't know. But for me right now, I'm more focused on South Carolina and trying to get that win, and it kind of sucks that they have an open week to, you know, get their quarterback healthy and fix whatever problem in 2 weeks, because obviously the open week helped us in our preparation for Auburn, and I just hope it doesn't help them as much as it helped us.
Well, that's a good point, though, but historically, UT and South Carolina has been close. I mean, the last 10 years, about every game's been close, hasn't it?
Yep. And we would have beaten them last year if we had any sort of competent coaching whatsoever. They weren't very good, and they are they 3-3 just like us? I mean, they've been not very impressive, but they're good enough to beat you, especially at home on a Saturday night in Columbia. So
who have they beaten?
They beat Missouri,
Vanderbilt,
and somebody else. Trying to look that up for you.
Coastal Carolina.
Ooh, the Chanticleers.
Well, the way I look at it, I think South Carolina is the most important game on our schedule. If we beat them, I think there's a possibility Tennessee could win out. If they lose the game, 2-2 is a realistic outlook.
So, would you take that right now? You know, 6-6, two
yeah,
SEC
I'd take
wins.
Yeah, 6-6 right now. I don't want to, but I mean, I'd take it. But South Carolina is a winnable game.
Sure.
I mean, Josh Dobbs went down there and beat them.
Sure.
And South Carolina had that game in hand easily, and then bang, just like that. It changed just like that. It was unbelievable.
They're very average on both sides of the ball. They are not, you know, particularly talented, and you're looking for their best players. It's probably the quarterback in Deebo Samuel. And outside of that, you know, there aren't a lot of stars on that team that are – that just have you quaking your boots or anything like that?
No, and I enjoyed that Jeremy Pruitt show yesterday. That was really – I enjoyed it. That's the most fun I had watching a playback show since Majors was coaching.
I like that they actually do the coaches show where they show the whole game and he comments on it. And he has interesting things to say, man. He doesn't just sit back and, you know, condescend to you like, oh, you're too dumb to understand what I'm talking about anyway, the way Butch and Dooley did. He sits there and breaks down it, and some of the stuff he says does go over your head. You're like, I don't know what that means, but it's interesting to hear him give an honest assessment of the game, and I learn a lot about the team by watching it. It's really good.
Yeah, and I like the way he says the Tennessee fans are hungry.
Hungry.
With that Alabama accent.
We
are hungry. I mean, look, I can't believe all the Tennessee fans went down there. I'd say there'll be a lot of them go to South Carolina.
I'm looking forward to seeing how this team does in the future, Philly.
And then when we play Vanderbilt, it'll be 3/4 Tennessee fans in the Commode Stadium.
And that would be, you know, even if we're 5-6 going into that game, and, you know, we're playing that to get bowl eligible, which would be a big step for the team. And we go down there and take over their stadium and finally beat Vanderbilt, which that's sad. But that's something to play for, man, in your first season.
Yeah, and Kentucky's winnable, guys, because in my lifetime, Kentucky's beaten Tennessee twice. In Knoxville, the 77, Kentucky had a great team. They won 7-0 here.
What was that guy's
name?
They
beat Tony Robinson in 84, 17-12, I think, was the final score.
Yeah.
And they barely beat us. Kentucky won't ball us out. It'll be a close game. So we just got to find a way to win.
What was that quarterback's name? Derek?
Derek Ramsey.
That's it.
He ended up playing tight end in pro football.
Yeah.
And that Art Steele was on that team. That's the best team money can buy. Fran Kirksey was the coach.
Could you imagine if that guy could play in, like, a modern spread offense?
Oh, God.
He was incredible.
What, Connors Holloway?
Well, yeah.
Could have played now.
You're right.
Been interesting, wasn't it?
Good stuff, Phil. All right, man, thanks. Appreciate the phone call. Let's get Paul in here next. Paul, you're on the McKinney team hotline. Good afternoon, sir.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
What up, Paul?
I'm glad Phil decided to eat some crow because I was going to do a little caller-on-caller violence. But I know Roger got him last week, but at least Phil has made amends. And great win Saturday.
Oh, yeah, we forgot to tell you about that. We'll tell you about it later.
But, you know, I'm a little bit worried about this game. I know we're not going to win. I know that's negative. I'm usually real positive. Yeah. But, you know, we're going to be without Batuli for half a game, and Kongbo's out with the ACL. And, you know, the way they were starting to click, even though Stidham, you know, he's problems at Auburn, but, you know, they really did a good job slowing Auburn down. I think that, you know, if those guys were going to be in there for the first half or combo for the whole game or the rest of the year even, we might be able to keep a score or two off the board. But because of that, I'm a little bit worried that it could get, like, really ugly Saturday.
It does kind of suck that the schedule falls this way, that we have this big win against Auburn. Like, I would love to play South Carolina this week. I would love to have the Charlotte game this week. You know, a game that you can build on, get a little momentum going.
Get some starters, some rest.
Yeah, but, I mean, this is just the way it is. And I hate being like that too, Paul, just kind of assuming a loss. But, you know, I guess you have to be at some level realistic about it. And I'm not – I know Pruitt would say, hey, look, you know, you never concede anything. You go into every game expecting to win no matter who the opponent it is. And I'm sure they'll put together a game plan that they think could lead to victory on Saturday. And I'll be watching the game and hoping for the best as well. But I'm also kind of got one eye on that South Carolina game and trying to figure out, okay, what we got three wins here. Where are the other three wins that come from that get us bowl eligible that we can show – some of these big-time recruits that we're going to take it to the next level that, hey, we're on the way up. We're not Saban went 6-6 his first year at Bama, too. This is part of the process, and we're going to be good next year. This was just year one. This was just a rebuilding year. Come be part of the turnaround next season.
Well, you know, that's right. But I think this game is going to be pivotal, like as it pertains to the smoking hot question. If they come out of this game not just mentally shattered, because, you know, the team has been getting better week by week, which we haven't seen that in years here in Knoxville. But if they can somehow come out of that Bama game with their chin up, you know, they're going to go at least 2-2. And the way they keep improving, this team could end up 7-5. You know, because if they remember what you do in November, and that's a mantra around here. And I just think this, how they come out of the Alabama game is going to be just key as to how they approach the South Carolina game and the rest of their slate.
Sure. You don't want to have – if you're going to lose, let's not have it too demoralized. Like, we don't want Bama putting up 60.
Right.
In here.
Exactly.
Saturday. You know, let's –
and without Batuli and you know, for half the game, without Kongbo for the entire game, they might. You know, are we getting Abernathy back?
I don't know. We'll see. Pruitt did not address that today, but you look at this, and it was interesting to see those numbers. Alabama 15th in total defense. That's a little bit low for them. I'll have to look at those total offense numbers. This is probably the rare year that Alabama's offense might actually be better than its defense. And that's not saying that its defense isn't very good. It's just saying that they've got kind of a juggernaut going right now offensively, and we'll have to see how things shake out. But yeah, it's hard to be super optimistic. I don't want to be too negative, pessimistic about our chances this weekend, but I do have one eye on that South Carolina game. I think that's a huge matchup for Tennessee. If they can figure out a way to get that win in Columbia, then I really like our chances to get a bowl game at that point. Paul, thanks a lot, man. Anything else?
No, that's all I've got, guys. Thanks. Go Bulls.
I appreciate you. Zach, hang right there. We're coming to you next. Overreaction Monday presented by the Phone Exchange, Knoxville's easiest place to buy, sell, and trade pre-owned funds. They're up there on top of Bearden Hill right next to Soccer Taco. They'll take great care of you, locally owned and operated, just like your friends here at Fan Run Radio. It is the Phone Exchange on top of Bearden Hill. We'll take a quick break. We're coming right back. More of your phone calls on the way right here on The Drive.
The Drive, Knoxville's home for sports radio in the afternoon. This is The Drive.
Matlock Tire and Auto Service is the official tire provider of Fan Run Radio. I am in desperate need of a visit to Matlock. I'm approaching 1,000 miles overdue on an oil change, which is unheard of for me. I know this child's play in Bears world. What would you do if I would just pull over to Weigel's or something and grab a can of whatever they've got there and just pour it in?
Yeah, it's a couple of quarts. You get that Valvoline extended life, high mileage for the senior citizen cars.
Yeah, I think I'll take mine to the friendly folks over at Matlock and let them actually drain the oil out and then replace it with new oil in a professional manner. Got to get the tires rotated as well. Matlock Tire and Auto Service, 4 locations in East Tennessee, in Farragut, in Lenore City, in Maryville, and in Athens. Locally owned and operated, Matlock Tire goes the extra mile for you. Visit MatlockTireService.com. Phone lines popping on an Overreaction Monday. Let's get Josh in here next. Hello, Josh. You're on The Drive. Josh,
fire,
you're with
Brandon.
Hey, there he is.
How about them Vols?
How about it?
Jared Tano Russell. I've been hard on him, but
you going to walk your criticism back a little bit?
Man, he surprised me. I mean, look like a different player. I mean, I don't know if it was just the offensive line gave him enough time, or if I didn't really know how good those receivers were.
I think it's everything. I think the O-line is getting a little bit better. They're still not great, but I think they're improving a little bit. I think Garantano's getting better. I think the receivers are much improved. I think the running backs are – I think it's all starting to develop a little bit for Tennessee. And I saw something Kirk Herbstreit posted on Twitter today where he was breaking down – I guess it was our second drive of the second half and third quarter, the long touchdown to Jennings. And – He was making the point he felt like Garantano took a big step on that drive and was a different player after that. You'll remember there was a second and long after we got one of our first down runs stuffed for about the billionth time. There's a second and long, and Garantano runs for about 10 yards. Sets up third and short. We give it to Chandler. He gets the first down. Then they hit the big play to Palmer, a deep ball to get it down there on their end of the field. And when Garantano got hit low on that play, and he stood in there and made the throw. Then you had the touchdown to Jennings where he got busted in the mouth and the dude got thrown out of the game. And he got up and swaggered and did the Conor McGregor walk off the field. And from then on, it was like he was on a different level, man. I thought that was an interesting sequence and observation.
How much does Tyson help me on being on the sideline?
I think it definitely would help with, I think directly with Jarrett Garantano, because that's his position coach, rather than talking to him over phone, being able to sit down with him over there and you know, what are you seeing here? You know, nowadays they've either got, you know, the iPads or you know, some kind of tablet and, you know, actual pictures.
Right.
The other thing is, yeah, it puts him down the sidelines with Pruitt, where if, you know, Pruitt is a head coach, if he's not rather than having some conversation on a headset, he can walk right over the guy and say, look, you know, we need to do something different here. So
yeah. Well, as far as your question today, man, I kind of look at it like this. I think Auburn has the best defense we'll see besides Alabama the rest of the year. And if that offense continues to play the way they did Saturday, I think South Carolina, honestly, is the easiest game left. And if we win that game, I would almost pick all four. I think Kentucky's the hardest game, but having them at home is a big advantage in that game. And it kind of matters how they come out of that Georgia game,
yep,
what they look like and their mentality at that time. So if we can get through this week healthy, man, it's hard to believe 1 week can change your whole outlook on the year. But, man, this is it's getting fun again.
Listen to the joy in Josh's voice, man. He's tickled.
Right.
He's giddy.
Hey, y'all take care. Hang in there. See you.
Thanks, Josh. Oh, the joy in his voice brings a smile to my face. Love to see the Tennessee fans happy. Feels good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Feels really good. Lynn makes a great point on Twitter. He said, remember, Alabama's first-string defense has played like two or three quarters a game. That might be the reason they're ranked so low. They're also – I haven't watched a ton of their games because they're all blowouts. None of them are interesting.
No, I mean, they've lost a lot of linebackers this
year.
And
their secondary has been decimated.
Yeah.
So
– I mean, their front four or, you know, their front
– wasn't that dude, Raekwon Davis, like – how – okay, I can understand how the ref misses that the other night. If you're the SEC, how do you not see that tape and say, you know what, you're suspended for at least half a game, if not an entire game?
How do they not stop the game from the command center in Birmingham when, you know, everybody on the broadcast noticed it and not buzz the field to say, hey.
I wasn't watching the game, so all I saw was the cut up on Twitter. So I don't know if that's something that, like, the replay cameras caught, you know, like as they're snapping the ball and it's too late or anything, but that was...
I mean, even if it's too late, I mean, even if it doesn't result in anything, that they should definitely... He should have been thrown out of the game immediately. I mean, that was out of control. And for him to keep playing Saban, knowing what he'd done, I mean, Saban's just a scumbag. I'm in full-on Alabama hate.
Roll down tide.
Let's get Zach in here next. Hello, Zach. You're on the drive, Fox Sports Knoxville. Good afternoon, sir.
What is that, W?
What up, what up?
How are you, Bear Brandon, doing?
Doing good, man. How are you, sir?
I'm doing awesome. Today, for me, it's not about Alabama. It's about Auburn. It's about celebrating the win. It's about finally having a weekend where I enjoyed football. I watched more college football Saturday than I had in a long time, and I enjoyed it and watched the NFL. Just forgot what a meaningful win really does for the entire weekend. Just a great, great weekend. And I'm going to continue to celebrate it today. We can look forward to talking about Alabama later in the week. But I will say what's impressive about our team and our offense is the ability to be able to basically do it in two downs. And what I mean by that, we really moved the ball on second and third down because we had no help from our play calling on first down. And I, again, keeping it positive, but we've got to do something more than the tickle behind the hands because we know exactly what that play is, and so does the defenses do. And to be able to do that against that level of team, our receivers were so sure-handed. That's one thing. Josh said it too. I don't ever remember our receivers. I don't even remember us dropping a ball. Did we drop a ball? I'm sure we did, right?
Yeah, there was that one. It would have been a hell of a catch. And I can't remember which one of the guys
Lewis
it was.
Murphy. Yeah. Not Lewis. Is Murphy. Jordan. Is it Jordan Murphy?
I'm not sure.
The guy never gets in the game. I don't even know his name. Yeah, it would have been a
heck of a catch because he went way up for it. He landed funky and it bounced it out. I mean, just couldn't hold on to it. But yeah,
I was excited to see our defense play. I loved Pruitt yelling coming off the field at the end of that third quarter. He was pumped more than anybody on that sideline, and I finally saw some of that nastiness in those defensive linemen. I love that, and I honestly see, you know, look past Alabama, but you look forward, I could say we can go 2-2. We should be able to go to a bowl game, but, man, what does 1 week do for you? It's awesome for this fan base, and it's been 20-something years since we won down there. I don't care how bad they're reeling. I don't care what problems they had. We still beat an SEC team from the West, other than, you know, a garbage team on the road. That is impressive. And to give what, you know, inexperience we have, I thought the coaches did a great, great job. So I'm very happy. It's a change in pace in 2 years, and hopefully we can continue it. Great show. Take care.
Thank you, Zach. Appreciate it. The just downtroddenness of this fan base if we had lost that game Saturday. And be honest, man, be honest. When we kick that field goal, we go up 30-17.
We're losing 31-30.
We're all thinking they're scoring two touchdowns. I mean, I feel like that feeling, and I'm watching the game in my car, and I'm a pacer. Like, when I'm talking on the phone, when I'm doing anything, when I'm watching a game and I'm nervous, I'm walking and just in a circle, man. So I'm stuck, and I'm going crazy, man. That onside kick, I almost couldn't watch.
I mean, if we could ever – he's really good at kicking those things.
Like I'm talking about the end of the game.
Oh, the end of the game. Sorry.
I didn't know that one was coming. I'm talking about, when their onside kick – Brandon, am I just conditioned to expect the worst? I thought they were going to recover the onside kick with about 40 seconds left, whatever, and they're going to have like 10 throws in the end zone, and it's just going to be the most brutal, slow death imaginable.
Yep.
Really?
We're all cutting. How are you not? How do you not just
because,
expect that?
You know why, honest to God? We got Juwan Jennings.
You just knew that he was going to catch the onside kick.
The guy makes big plays in big games for us when he's healthy. He always has.
Rick, were you expecting the worst?
Yeah, I was sweating bullets.
I wasn't. I knew.
I was 100% positive we were going to lose 31-30.
And it's just going to be the most brutal, slow death imaginable.
What is this?
Really?
Why am I hearing myself?
How are you not?
I'm not sure.
Who pulled up the Periscope?
Not me.
I think I laid my hand up, my wrist hit it.
Some bear pulled up the Periscope.
You all couldn't even get Periscope working last week. We were off for 2 days.
You can get it working. Stay.
Hand me that iPad.
Oh, bear.
I'll get it working.
Oh, bear.
Stay with us. The drive continues. Fox Sports Knoxville, 865-546-8200. You want to jump in, take a shot now. A couple lines available on the McKinney Team Hotline. We'll find out who's on the docket, brought to you by Ogle, Elrod, and Brill. Coming up.
The Drive. Overreaction Monday on The Drive is presented by The Phone Exchange, Knoxville's easiest place to buy, sell, or trade pre-owned phones. Now, back to The Drive.
Fox Sports Knoxville, it is Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith back with you.
It's about time.
Bear, you miss me?
Yeah.
You miss me? I missed you too.
I've noticed this. Bear's it's a completely different bear when Russell's not here.
Really?
Yeah, completely different.
I'm sad.
He does not cross lines.
Rick is like, he doesn't cross lines? Like,
no.
He's not bear on 10, he's like bear on 7 or 8?
More like 5 or 6.
Really?
Yeah. It's a very watered down
Rick
version.
And I got into it. Rick said some really dumb stuff last week.
All right, I've heard about this. We'll get into that. I want to get to these phones here real quickly. We will deal with
Rick's stupidity.
Yeah, the dumbassery of one Rick Butler.
All right.
We will get to that. It will be addressed. First, though, we talked to Roberto. Good afternoon, Roberto. You're on the drive.
A wonderful day to be alive and well in East Tennessee,
man.
Right, guys?
Roberto, how does it feel? We won a game!
I was there. It was amazing.
Oh,
It was so much fun.
Did you have any expectation of winning when you went down there?
So, on the drive down there, absolutely not. Like, I was just like, you know, I get to go to a cheap ball game with my wife and kids. So I took the kids. They're 1-0 in road victories as well now. It was a lot of fun. We're like, you know, I went and saw a client, his family on the way. It's just going to be kind of a fun weekend, right? And then on the way there, it's kind of like whatever. Of course, I got the inkling that, you know, I do know that Auburn's quarterback sucks. That's the only hope I have. Then we get down there. Their fans, totally out of it. We get to the tailgate at like 7:45 in the morning. Their people didn't even arrive until the second quarter of the game. Somebody else called it a wine and cheese crowd, and I thought that was a really good way of putting it. And, you know, after the first drive, I go, well, that was fun. That was cute. And then Gus Malzahn goes and pulls a Gus Malzahn, tries to win a triple reverse throw by the quarterback, right? And they fumble. It wasn't that the – they didn't fumble, but they had to kick the field goal, and they went up 10-0, right? And that's when I was like, did he just try to give us the game? And then we scored, and then – about at halftime, even though we were trailing, there was a lot of energy. Like, I think we're going to win this game. So, no, not on the way down. So, no expectations, really, other than I knew Jared Stidham sucked. But when we popped that second turnover, I was like, man, if we can get a third turnover or maybe a defense put us in place for a touchdown, I really felt like we were a strong candidate to win that game. So, as a fan, it was amazing. It's so funny, guys. Our young fans are so deprived of road wins. They don't even know half the cheers we do when we're walking out of the stadium to, you know, kind of to troll the other schools. Isn't that sad?
Yeah. I mean, like, I think there was a lot of it. Even for those of us who've been through the good times, it's kind of like Ricky Bobby. I don't know what to do with my hands. Like, we won a game that matters. This is a weird, strange sensation. I kind of forgotten what it feels like.
It's so great. Guys, I can't tell you how great it is to take over somebody else's stadium. It's just wonderful. It's wonderful to see them dejectedly walk out in front of you. What do they say? To have your enemies driven before you on their hands and knees. It was just, it's great. I remember all the times at Alabama, LSU, Florida, Georgia, Arkansas, all those fans, South Carolina, for the last 10 years have done that to us in our own stadium. It was so beautiful to inflict that on somebody else. I'm not going to lie. Their misery sustained me. I'm still not going to kid myself believing that Tennessee is an elite program or anything like that. We are on track to be better. Six wins is now in the viewfinder again. You know, those are all positive things. One thing I wanted to ask, and it's sort of a negative, but I want to hear your guys' opinion. Does Tim Jordan need to be running the Wildcat, or does he need to be in the game at all? He's not very good.
Yeah, I mean, I think he has a role to play on this team.
Yeah.
The
he
Wildcat.
He misses a lot of holes.
Yeah,
he does. Cost us on that third down, that flare pass. He cost us big. He could have had the first down basically into the game, and all he had to do was outrun the angle, which he should have been able to do, and he cut it back. That was a really bad play. That's something that's going to get overlooked because we won. But that was a horrible play.
Well, and he had one on the Pruitt show yesterday where, and this is something the casual fan doesn't notice in the game. You just think, oh, this is a run that got stuffed. And Pruitt's like, he missed the cutback right there, or he missed the lane or something. It's like, okay, well, he seems to be saying that a lot.
Here's my other thing in that regard, and you're right, he is, Russ. Like, if we're going to run a little flare pass to the outside, like almost, for lack of a better term, a screen, can we please run those with Chandler since he's, you know, probably the fastest guy on our team? And if we need to bruise it up in the inside, maybe Chandler's not a horrible decision, but maybe somebody else is a better one. Like, it seems like we were inverted on that almost every single play in the second half. Still worked out. Great win. Super happy. Kicking game was good. Got that kick blocked. Everybody said it was the kicker's fault. If you've ever kicked, which I have, you know, that was not his fault. The guy was 2.5 yards in the backfield by the time his foot struck the ball, you know.
Yeah, it was Trey Smith who got blowed up on that one, too.
Trey Smith getting blown up a lot, too. That's something that worries me. He got blown up a lot.
Nah, it shouldn't worry you that much. It's going to take him a while to get back from what all he's been through. Plus,
I don't disagree with that.
His ankle got rolled.
But the missed assignments is what worries me. The one where, if you look closely, with the one where Garantano gets folded like a cheap pet backwards.
Oh.
Watch the missed assignment by Trey Smith.
Yeah.
I mean, he's literally looking for the guy, and the guy is already behind him.
Yeah, I mean, he's right. He's still getting over, and he's still not back to 100%. Plus, he had an ankle injury.
I'm not here to bash kids. I'm really not. I'm more just questioning what's going on. Okay, I'm really happy. I'm happy for those kids. They deserved Saturday, and so did our young fans. All the young fans that got to see that. They have never got to see Tennessee. I mean, it was like this little taste of holy water, if you will. Going, wow, is this what it's really like to beat a big time program in a big time game on the road and make it matter? And it did, because that game right there is probably going to flip our whole season. Because basically all we got to do is go 3-2 in our last five, and we make a bowl. And guys, at that point, we've achieved all of our goals. We beat a West team, we beat a ranked team, we beat a team on the road that we shouldn't have beaten, and we made a bowl game. That's everything we wanted at the beginning of the season, and I'm really proud of you guys. Have a good day.
Thank you, Roberto. Appreciate the phone call. Citizens National Bank is the official bank of the drive. Earn 1.75% on a free checking account at Citizens National Bank. They've got 21 branches throughout Knox, Sevier, and Jefferson counties. You visit cnbtn.com for a branch near you or call 865-453-9031. Free checking, free internet banking, free bill paying, free e-statements, no minimum balance requirement. Extended evening hours and Saturday banking available at branches as well. So check them out online at cnbtn.com or call 865-453-9031. It's Citizens National Bank. We'll keep things rolling here on Overreaction Monday. Jamie is up next on the drive. Good afternoon, Jamie.
Fair?
Yeah.
Brandon, who's got in there with you today?
Russell Smith, Jamie. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, Russ.
World traveler.
Hey, man, so where are you going this weekend for vacation, man? We can't.
you going to pick me up? You going to drive me somewhere?
I almost don't know how to act myself. The volunteer reaction was out of control. It was rated X, for sure. It was something I couldn't listen to in the car with the youngins. But, hey. I'll take it. If that's what I got to deal with, if I've got to censor the voluntary reaction to get a road win and get a West team, I'll take it. Baron and Brandon, you guys will vouch for me. Who called in last week suggesting let's throw that ball? And I believe, Barry, you tried to talk me off that ledge saying, you know, you ain't got time. We got time. We got all day. Against a damn stellar defense. You throw that ball like that.
Hum that tater. Garantano. Fling that thing.
We did a better job this week.
Yeah, well, you know, to be fair, Bear, we don't know if they'd have done a better job in the first five games because we didn't try it. We ran the ball on first down 90% of the time against Florida. If we didn't, you know, that ball game was weird because of the six turnovers, but still, when you're trying to get back
in the
game.
We ran the ball on first down 99% of the time against Auburn. I think we only threw one pass on first down, and that was the one that he completed way downfield to
11 of Tennessee's 12 first down plays in the second half were runs. And the one Bear's talking about on the, I guess, next to last offensive possession, or the bomb to Palmer on play action first down. They finally took a shot and it paid off.
No, wait. You said 11 of 12 first downs were runs?
Yes.
Yeah.
In the second half. Do you disagree? I mean, it's...
We only had like 70-something yards rushing. That doesn't seem right.
No, 11 of the 12 first down plays.
Oh, right. Yeah, we're rushing.
Were runs.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, would y'all agree with this, though, that having watched that game, that the pass definitely opened up the running lanes? Without having a threat?
Aside from the two – you know, Chandler popped a 15-yarder and Jordan popped a 10-yarder on that first drive. And aside from that, there wasn't a whole lot of running at all.
And here's the problem. The one running back we have who is more suited to running against a defense like Auburn's can't hold on to the football right now, so he can't see the field. And that's why you're seeing so much of Tim Jordan. Otherwise, I mean, if he can't stop fumbling, then they need to move him over to linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, well, you've got to have him on the field. He's nasty.
I don't want to be just a mirror of every single call today and just, you know, so allow me to be a little different. I've always been one that don't waste a win. There's a lot to be learned from that game. Sure. I still think that we could do a lot better with our play calling offensively. You know, not taking a shot after the turnovers and, you know, close to midfield. I love the fact you could tell Russ and Barrett and Brandon that that Coach Pruitt had his fingerprints all over that offense this week because they were playing to win that ball game. And you definitely could tell that was a little different approach than the first five games. It just looked like we were trying to manage ball games, you know, trying to manage, and hopefully at the end of the game, look up, we've got more points than the other team. You know, I was really impressed with Pruitt, his game plan. I was impressed with his post-game comments, being upset that we could not finish. I love that. That's why, you know, that's the way the Bill Belichick's and Nick Saban's talk. You know, that's championship. If you want to be the best, you have to play the best. And just getting out there with a win, you gotta still be able to learn from wins too. And I still think the play calling's got some work to do, but David feels good. You know, I said a couple before we went on vacation to Russ, and I'll get out of the way. Gotta have something in year one, man, to make me to whet my appetite for, you know, years two and three, to, you know, make me shut up and give a guy a chance. And you know, maybe appeal to some of these five stars like the offensive lineman we want so bad who happened to be at Auburn visiting them. That couldn't have worked out any better for us.
I love that, Wanye going down there on a visit. Yeah. That's nice. Hopefully we get Papo, too.
Yeah, we're going to have some help. If we're going to play the style that it looks like that we're wanting to play, you know, old school, smash mouth, you know, run the ball to set the pass, then you're going to have some NFL players on the offensive line and defensive line for that matter, because your defense really dictates how you can – if you want to play – conservative style offense, you really better have a dominating defense. But yeah, man, it feels good. Thanks, Pruitt, for giving us something to look forward to. You know, now we can say going into years two and three that he has done something to show us that he's, you know, up until Saturday, it wasn't a lot to give the guy, you know, any credit for, but by God, he's giving me something now, and I really appreciate it. It feels good, and y'all hang in there. Please let me in.
Thank you, Jamie. Appreciate the phone call. We got to take a quick break. We'll come back to wrap up hour number two of Overreaction Monday right after this.
The Drive. This is The Drive. The Docket, brought to you by Ogle, Elrod, and Burrill, the official law offices of The Drive. Injured? Call 865-546-1111. Ogle, Elrod, and Burrill. They'll come to you. Visit their website at wreckintoacheck.com. Now, to the docket.
Authorities say a Florida woman is blaming a windy day for cocaine that police found in her purse.
What?
WPLG reported Kenesha Posey was one of two passengers in a car stopped by Fort Pierce, Florida police in late March. Police say an officer smelled marijuana and that after searching the car, cocaine and marijuana in separate bags were found inside a purse Posey had on her lap. Authorities say they questioned Posey about the drugs. According to the police report, Posey responded, quote, "It's a windy day. It must have flown through the window and into my purse."
That's up there with Brandon Chicken, I feel like.
That's pretty solid. I think, like, we just got to admire the kahunas of Kenesha Posey. It's a windy day. It must have blown a bag of cocaine through the car window into my purse. Seems legit.
Did it work?
No. She was totally charged with felony count of cocaine possession and a misdemeanor count of marijuana possession. Police not buying it. Not buying the windy day defense. That is The Docket, brought to you by Ogle, Elrod, and Burrill, the official law offices of The Drive. You check them out online at wreckintoacheck.com or call 865-546-1111. Ogle, Elrod, and Burrill.
Talk after you.
No matter where you are. And turn your wreck into a check. We've got hour number three of Overreaction Monday presented by the Phone Exchange. Coming up next right here on Fox Sports Knoxville.